12 weeks from today is Election Day. And while a presidential race usually draws a lot more voter turnout than a primary, this year's primary election in Hawaii marked extremely high voter participation, 51% in the state's first statewide mail-in election. For a closer look at what we can look forward to, we're joined by HPR government reporter Ryan Finnerty. And Ryan, for starters, the Honolulu mayor's race features two candidates who are not career politicians.
Yeah, that's right, Bill. The two races covering county mayorships were the big story of the night. As you mentioned on Oahu, two outsider candidates who had, or at least billed themselves as outsiders, were the top two finishers. That was Rick Blangiardi and Keith Amamiya. They beat established candidates like former Congresswoman Colleen Hanabusa, City Council Member Kim Pine, and former Honolulu Mayor Mufi Hanneman. On Hawaii Island, there was a somewhat similar result. County Prosecutor Mitch Roth and community organizer Ikaika Marzo knocked out incumbent Harry Kim, who now will not even be on the ballot in the general election. So voters gave him the option to retire or to pursue other interests as he sees fit. And there was also the much-watched race to replace Honolulu prosecuting attorney Keith Kaneshiro, who is the target of a federal corruption investigation and has been on a leave of absence for months. Well-known former judge Steve Alm finished first, and a former deputy prosecutor Megan Cao finished second to beat the progressive candidate Jackie Esser in that race. Another big story of the night was the race for our second congressional district. That's the one that covers the more rural parts of Oahu and all of the neighbor islands. The seat currently held by Tulsi Gabbard, who earlier this year announced that she would not be seeking re-election. Kai Kahele, the state senator from Hilo, won that race. And that was somewhat seen as the likely outcome based on polling and fundraising. But it's pretty significant because he would be the first neighbor island resident Hawaii has ever sent to Congress. And he would also be only the second Native Hawaiian since statehood that will represent Hawaii in Congress. And he spoke with HPR on election night about the significance of those milestones.
You know, never in our state's history have we had an opportunity to send someone to Congress that has lived largely their entire life on the neighbor islands. And it brings a unique perspective to the delegation who sometimes can be faulted for being too Oahu-centric. And it allows that neighbor island voice and perspective within the delegation. And, you know, we have much different challenges than the island of Oahu. We're going to see that when I'm able to join the delegation. So I think it's a big deal.
And Kahele said that he's ready to work with the delegation and focus on economic recovery and getting more federal assistance to Hawaii to help deal with the pandemic. And Bill, I thought that one of the really noteworthy things about this particular primary race was how uncompetitive it was. This was an open seat, meaning the incumbent wasn't running, and that doesn't come around too often in smaller states like Hawaii that don't have many seats in Congress. It happened last in 2018 in Hawaii's other congressional district, which covers the urban parts of Oahu, urban Honolulu, and that was after Colleen Hanabusa stepped down to run for governor against David Ige. And that was really in contrast to the race on Saturday. It was a really highly competitive, very contested primary. Ed Case, the current congressman, won after entering the race late. And that was really in sharp contrast to Kai Kahele's victory, where, as we said earlier, it was really seen as almost a foregone conclusion. He is not the holder of that seat yet. He'll face Republican challenger Joe Akana, who's from Waianae on Oahu, in the November general election. But Kahele is the likely favorite.
You know, you raise an interesting point, Ryan, about the power of incumbency. Certainly that's true in elections generally, but certainly here in Hawaii in particular, in some races, that has been the case. And incumbencies, a lot of incumbents, as you well know, in terms of the legislature, running without opposition. But there is a race also, House District 13, involving an incumbent, a little different bit of a story there.
Yeah, this was an interesting one. It's, I think, safe to say the closest race of the night. House District 13, which covers all of Molokai, all of Lanai, and parts of East Maui. Lynn DeCoit, who is from Molokai, is the incumbent. She's held that seat for several years, was originally appointed to it by Governor David Ige, and then has since won re-election. She was challenged by Walter Riddy, who is the well-known Native Hawaiian activist, also from Molokai. And this was, you and I were watching it on Saturday night, was really close the entire time. In the end, they were separated by just 91 votes, with DeCoit, the incumbent, coming out on top. Interesting to note that there were more than double that number of blank votes, so people who were eligible to vote in that race and chose not to. They submitted ballots for other and voted in other races, but didn't pick a candidate in that one for whatever reason. Maybe they couldn't decide or didn't want to. So those blank votes would have given one candidate or the other the edge, most likely. But this is interesting because the race went to a recount under a pretty recent law, 2019 state law, that now requires an automatic recount in elections if the margin is less than 100 votes difference or a quarter of a percent. So this one did hit that 100 vote threshold to trigger an automatic recount. That was taking place on Monday, and we are expecting to get results in the recount potentially as soon as today, Tuesday.
We will see what happens with that, and really sort of a reset now on the elections themselves, on the primaries, as the primaries go into the rearview mirror and now toward the general election in November. We would think in the weeks between now and the election, a few more policy specifics likely to be coming up for points of debate.
Yeah, that's right. Particularly on these mayoral races, where executives during this ongoing recession and this pandemic crisis, people are really leaning on the executive branches of state, local, and federal government to take action to address the problems that are facing individuals and businesses. And so that means that there will be a lot of expectation on these new mayors, whoever they are, come 2021. Rick Blangiardi has said that he's going to be firming up his platform a little bit more in the coming months. When I talked to him on election night, he said that because the situation is changing so, it's so fluid and changing so rapidly day to day and week to week, that he is open to adjusting his policy proposals as things develop. And that's kind of been what most candidates are saying, that it's kind of hard to make really concrete proposals now, knowing that they won't take office for several months, and it's very unclear what our situation will be at that time.
More than one interesting executive race heading in November, including the one in Washington, D.C. Ryan Finnerty, you know him. He covers government for Hawaii Public Radio. Thanks, Ryan.
Happy to do it, Bill.
And you can find Ryan's stories online at hawaiipublicradio.org.